that each of us are here, and so we're very glad that you are. I'd like to announce to you there's a couple of cards here in the pew racks, a yellow one for prayer requests, and we'd love to hear those from you, receive those from you, I should say, at the time of the offering. And then the blue cards, at the time, right after the three lessons. And then the blue card is to be handed in at the time of offering. So at this point, we welcome you and ask you to stand and greet one another. Beginning this morning, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, in word, and in deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O God, you are the strength of all who trust in you, and without your aid we can do no good thing. Grant us the help of your grace, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The Old Testament readings from Daniel, starting with the 10th verse. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of his chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for the days yet to come. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at the time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the star forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Revelation 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord.
Halle, 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 luia. Halle, 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 luia. Halle, 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 luia. Halleluia, halleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. The 72 returned with joy. These were Jesus' disciples, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, having sent them out, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Here ends the reading of the Holy Gospel. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this day. Our text is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter. It actually begins at verse 1. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, the Bible is right in front of you there, and we would love to have you follow. I would like to say that Jesus models his own mission mandate of going and making disciples, the Great Commission. And here in this text, we see that he sends out his disciples. He sends them out two by two to the very cities that he was about to go into the villages and towns and cities, and he was about to make these same visits. But he sent the disciples out to prepare the way. And in John chapter 20, verse 21, I'm reminded that Jesus does that also for us today and as his disciples. As he looked at the disciples having now prepared them for his death, his resurrection, he speaks to them yet again and says, "As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." Let's pray. Dear Lord and Savior Jesus, help us to see that we are the apostolic ones, ones who are sent, ones who have been sent in your name, by your power, with your authority, at your command, to a world that needs to hear your message, in Jesus' holy name. The Lord appointed his disciples to go two by two. And he appointed them to go out ahead of him to the very towns he was about to go. And I find it very interesting to note that he didn't send them to Concordia Seminary for another 7 years of training. They'd been with him, watching him heal and preach and teach and talk about the kingdom of God being at hand. And he'd done that for less than 3 years with them. And this is the larger group of disciples that were sent out, the at least under the 100, the 72. And so we know that these were the ones who were sent out to proclaim this message. They had on-the-job training, you might say. And so it is with you and with me that we too are sent, perhaps as very young Christians, new to the faith, or perhaps lifelongers, veterans. We might not have a pastoral degree. But according to Jesus, we don't need one. You and I are the sent ones, despite the degrees, but at the command of our Lord and Savior. Jesus said these words, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his labor field." You know, I pray for Trinity. I pray for us to become workers in the Lord's harvest field on a daily basis. I pray that the work we do here, the people of Trinity and as individuals, that eternity itself can be touched and changed. It can be impacted, that people will come to faith because of how God is using this church and this place and us as his people to carry out his will. Through our worship, through our Sunday school, our adult Bible classes, through our new Immerse Bible study that's launching next week, with people getting into the Word, I pray that God will show us the way and that the laborers and the workers will witness to all that the Lord has done in their life. And that we too, like the disciples of Jesus 72 that were sent, will return to the Lord with great excitement, as the disciples did, to tell their story of what happened as they worked for the Lord in his vineyard. Jesus, I remind you, said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." There is an abundance of opportunity. Our child development center, just on the catty corner of our property here, our guests, and our new neighbors who are going in across the street, those who are visiting with us, who will soon be living in those apartments? Who are those families that are in the child development center? Who are our neighbors in this great community, the City Beautiful? And as we start to see it, we have a plentiful labor field. The world's population is 7.7 billion people. And I think most of them drive on I-4. I did a little further research and I found that only 2.3 billion have faith in Jesus Christ. That means that 5.4 billion people do not have saving faith in Christ and are in peril for their eternal souls and destiny. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus came for each and every one of that 7.7 billion people. Jesus came for them. Christianity is the world's largest religion. And yet we still see that 5 billion plus people don't know him as Lord and Savior. Jesus sent his own disciples out two by two to make them disciples, and now he's appointed you and me as his ambassadors of reconciliation. He realized the situation of sin that humanity had wrapped itself in, and that we were hopelessly lost, unable to save ourselves, unable to get out of our mire and muck, and understood that we were sunk and we needed a Savior. God loved each and every one of those 7.7 billion people, just like he loves you. And he sent Jesus to save them, to pay the price, to redeem them, and to rescue them. And you know, the one thing God wants of us to do is certainly to believe that message. But he wants us to believe that message and to get the good news out, to share it. Now, I used to be a newspaper boy when I was growing up in elementary years and whatnot. And we delivered the newspaper. We had to walk it up to the porch, open the door, and shove it in. We didn't get to throw it at the house and hopefully hit their yard at least. We didn't get to do that. It was a personal thing. And as you and I start to look at our job, we're really kind of like newspaper people. We get to deliver the good news. And I want to tell you, the more personal that we can make it, delivered hand to hand, face to face, person to person, the better it is. And so as you and I start to see our job as newspaper people, delivery boys and girls, sharing the good news, we too will have great excitement. Recently, one of our elders said, Pastor, could I help you? You just had this knee surgery. Would it be okay if I went on one of these hospital visits, these shut-in visits? I said, sure. I gave him the name of a man. And later that afternoon, he texted me with great excitement, and he says, Pastor, man, that was fun. He said, you know what? I don't know if he was more blessed by the visit or me. And I'm sure as you start to think about the things you do to serve your Savior, you've got to say, I am blessed by that. It's a true joy to stand in the Lord's army, to pray for someone, to help them with a helping hand, to care for them, to love them, to forgive them, to pray for them. And as you and I do that in a very personal way, it is a very powerful message. Now, Jesus told his disciples, go your way to these towns and cities. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. I've given you all that you will need. I will open the doors to accomplish my work in these places with these people. We don't have a shortage of resources, my friends. We simply are looking for more workers in the force of the Lord's labor. Whatever your house you enter in, say, peace be to this house. And a son of peace is there. If they are there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and say to them, Jesus says, say to them that the kingdom of God has come near. You see, you and I have a very, very important mission. We are to deliver a life-saving message. And we need to realize that you and I are bringing the kingdom of God literally into their life, into their living rooms, into their homes, into their children's and families' life. And with that message, there is hope that is renewed, help that is given, power that is granted, authority of forgiveness of sins, and a release from the darkness that had otherwise surrounded them. You and I are serving in the Lord's army. We are his ambassadors. We speak with his authority. But whenever you enter a town, Jesus says, and they don't receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town, I shake off my feet. Jesus later tells us, don't worry, if they reject you, they're really rejecting me and the gift I want to give them. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. That's an awesome thing. It's a very awesome thing that we get to deliver. And that elder that returned with great joy is the same joy that the disciples had. They wanted to do it again. And what do you think I said to the man that said, can I do it again? What do you think I should tell him? No, you've had enough. You got to share? No. I think we should probably say, go. Here's another name. And as you and I start to look at the ways in which we can serve the Lord and the people we can speak with about this good news that Jesus loves them so very much that he is willing to die upon a cross to pay for their sins and that their sins are forgiven. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, therefore I am in their midst. And then he says, whatever you loose in heaven, I loosen, or whatever you loose on earth, whatever you forgive on earth, I also loose or forgive in heaven. You're able to grant them even forgiveness of sins by the power and the authority of God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Now the 72, they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority. Authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven, in the book of life. When I did a little bit of study on this, it's like you're going to be looking in heaven, and as you stand there, there's a look-see to see if your name's on the list. And those whose names are on the list are welcomed into the bliss of heaven. Those whose names are not found are rejected and are thrown into the lake of fire. Rejoice in this, that your names are written in the book of life. I remember Harold Storm. How many of you remember Pastor Harold Storm? Yeah, good. He was in his 90s when he, last Sunday he preached. I happened to be there at Our Savior where Pastor Schaefer is now serving. And Harold says, you know, I think I'm going to retire again. This is my last Sunday. We talked about that. A little bit earlier in that year, he'd had a heart attack. And I went to the hospital to visit Harold. And Pastor Storm was sitting there on the edge of the bed, and you know, with one of those fancy designer robes that they have, he just sat there, exposed to the hallway, shaking his head. Harold, how are you doing today? He said, I'm a lucky man. I said, you're a lucky man? He kept saying it. And I said, Harold, you had a heart attack. Why do you say you're a lucky man? He said, I'm a lucky man because, he said, Doug, I've died 3 times in this place. 3 times. And each time I was certain that I was going to heaven. Each time my faith was certain and secure. Each time I knew Jesus would welcome me. And I trusted him, knowing my sins had been forgiven. Doug, I'm a lucky man. Harold knew what Jesus meant, didn't he? Rejoice. Not in all the accomplishments of the world or the joy of having served Jesus with a full and rich life, as great and as grand as that was, opening Woodlands Camp and the like and serving in Miami and opening so many missions there, all of those things. Rejoice, Jesus says, Harold, that your name is written in the book of life. And Harold rejoiced. I hope and I pray that as you and I start to look at that we will see that our names are written in the book of life, promised there because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you and for me, and Jesus made it very clear. These things have been written so that you may be certain that if you die, you can be certain that you have life everlasting in his name. And that by believing that message, you can rejoice that your name is written in that book. But today and tomorrow and the days ahead, we've got work to do. People to reach across the street, people across the campus, people in this community. We have a labor field, a harvest field that is plentiful. We've got work to do. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, we do indeed give you thanks. We thank you for our salvation. Restore unto us the joy of our own salvation, knowing that you have called us through the waters of baptism to be yours. And here at the Lord's Supper, to be offered forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. And from your holy word, which has been proclaimed this day, and as we read it upon our own, it is truly your power unto our salvation. And how you speak to us as we read those words and hear those words are that you speak your love into us and offering us your forgiveness, your guidance, and your direction. We ask you, O Lord, to help us to learn, to mark, and inwardly digest these words. And that as we begin the immersed Bible study, that we as one people here at Trinity would learn together the height, the depth, and the width of your love. May you help us to learn new things and apply these truths to our lives. And as a church, to be guided by them, directed by them, and empowered by them. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we pray for the people of this community, especially those who don't know you as Lord and Savior. We pray, O Lord, that you would help them to find a place where they'll be loved and cared for, where they will hear this message of your free love gained for us through Christ's suffering and death, where you will offer them the hope of life everlasting as you've given it to us. And help this church and all the churches of this community be a part of your plan to reach each and every one of them. We pray for them, and we pray for the ministry of each of these Christian congregations. Lord, may your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, we pray for Lo Phillips, who's hospitalized, now home, due to medication complications. We pray for Lem Gabriel, who's hospitalized now for some 14 weeks. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to watch over him and be with him. We thank you for the progress that he's made, and we ask you, O Lord, to continue it. Lord, we also thank you for my recovery and the strengthening that you give me anew each and every day. Lord, we are truly, each and every one of us, totally dependent upon you. And for your grace and for your rich, lavish pouring out of that grace each and every day, we thank you and we depend on you and we look to you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Lord, for all those prayers that are upon our hearts and our minds and lips, may you now hear them. In Jesus' holy name, may you bring your answer to bear. Amen. You may be seated.
He who began a good work in you He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it will be faithful to complete it He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. If the struggle you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure that the Lord has his hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are his treasure, and he finds his pleasure in you. He who began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you for the remission of all your sins." Likewise, in the same manner also, Jesus took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. now fulfilled. These eyes have seen salvation's dawn, child so long foretold. This is the saved. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that indeed you have refreshed us through this gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his blessed peace. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to take the first announcement and the last one, Kel. The first one you don't see in your text, though, so I'll just speak to it. I'd like to, first of all, just say welcome to each of you. It's good to be back and getting better with the knee surgery, and so thanks. But I'd like to take a second right now, and Tim, beautiful job. I love the offertory music as well. And so let's just thank God. We just sometimes don't say enough to say thanks. Good job. And Diane's back there praying for both of us, so I know that all's going well. We're glad that each of you are here as well. Cal, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then I'll come back at the final one.
Morning. It's food and fun. Fun's on the fifth weekend, and this is the fifth weekend. You'll find the shopping cart in the back if you brought anything to donate. And the donations, of course, go to the pastoral discretionary fund to help those in the immediate financial crisis. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Lori Bachman, and she's going to speak on Live UCF.
Yeah. I always had trouble figuring out if it was Live or Live, but it's Live UCF. It's our campus ministry, and I have the opportunity to be on the board of directors. So I've had a wonderful time interacting with the students and the other people. We have a gala coming up on October 12th. Y'all have some activities in the morning, but you can come to the gala in the evening. We have an open bar, we have salad, we have dinner with the gentleman here from Trinity is going to be cooking for us. It's October 12th at Prince of Peace, and I'm going to be selling tickets in the back and giving you information about Live UCF. And we're going to have a good speaker, and the students share a little bit, but it's a great fellowship time. And I would just like to invite you all to be a part of it, because it's our Lutheran churches in the area and even beyond Central Florida that support this ministry. And it's a wonderful campus ministry. So thank you.
Continuing on, the pumpkin patch will be opening. The pumpkins will be delivered on October 4th. Sales will begin immediately thereafter. And remember, when you buy your pumpkins here at Trinity, it's convenient and it supports Trinity School Ministry. Is Stacy Carroll here? Okay. Pumpkin Palooza is on October 12th. We'll be hosting a new Trinity family and community event called Pumpkin Palooza on Saturday, October 12th. All Trinity families, friends, and neighbors are welcome. We'll begin in the morning with a huge costume parade through the neighborhood, then truck or treating down Trinity's interior driveway, ending up at the pumpkin patch where there'll be, I guess, pumpkins for sale in the games, and a food truck so anyone can grab a bite to eat and visit. We'd love to see a full line of cars all the way down the drive. Sign-ups are open now, and check your Trinity Weekly for details. Our annual Oktoberfest festival will be Friday, October 25th, so please come to that. And immersed Bible reading experience, you're going to take that, I'm sorry. I'll say thank you.
Kel, we appreciate all that you and our other elders do. Thank you. Kel had to go. He served as security last night at the UCF game. And it was a low-scoring game, only 42 to something. UCF won. That was Live UCF, all right. We do want to make an announcement on the Immerse Bible Study. And hopefully this slide is going to come up. There should be a red arrow on there in a moment. And when that comes up, there we go. We'd like to let you know that there's...
The Bible continues to be the best-selling book every year. Even though over 95% of American homes already have at least one. Yet, according to recent research, 62% of Americans want to read the Bible more. Another study showed 87% of churchgoers want more help understanding the Bible. So why is it that so many people are struggling to read the Bible? Glenn Powell, a leading authority on Bible engagement from the Institute for Bible Reading, provides some insights.
What if we had a Bible, when we opened it up, we saw letters looking like letters. We saw stories that looked like stories. We saw song lyrics on the page. All these different kinds of writing that make up the Bible, that were originally inspired by God to be different kinds of writing. What if we saw that when we looked at our Bible? The fact is that over time, the Bible has turned into a different kind of book. We've been adding things to the Bible for centuries. Chapter numbers, from there we've added footnotes and cross references, section headings, all these things that complicate the visual form of our Bible. So what if we went back to an earlier form of the Bible? A Bible built for reading at length and in depth. Letters, stories, songs coming together to tell the story of God in a way that is taken in deeply into our lives so that we can live that story today. This is the Bible that Immerse is inviting you into.
Join the movement as churches across the country embark on a Bible reading journey with Immerse, the Bible reading experience. The goal is to establish a 3-year rhythm of reading through the entire Bible with an 8-week community reading experience each fall and spring. Immerse, the Bible reading experience, features a new presentation of Scripture designed to deliver the best reading experience possible. Each week includes a brief video trailer, giving readers background context and orienting them in the Bible's ongoing story. For participants who want to listen rather than read, a custom Immerse audio version is provided for each volume of Immerse. Each week, Immerse community groups meet to share what they read that surprised, encouraged, or enlightened them. For perhaps the first time ever, they can have honest conversations about the Bible. Immerse, the Bible reading experience, will transform how your church engages Scripture. Enroll your church now at immersebible.com.
Once again, the classes, which are located in your weekly, they're announced by location and who's leading them, facilitating, I should say, and where they'll be held. Those begin the week of October 6th. Some may start a little later, which is fine, but there will be weekly Bible readings and Bible study, and we hope that you'll be a part of it. Wouldn't it be neat if we could all be in God's Word together in this, our 100th anniversary year? Power of God and the salvation. is what we will be wrapping our hands around. I think it'll be an exciting adventure. I look forward to going on it with you. Thank you. Please stand for our final hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.